So, like, wait. Oh, see, I was going to make a joke about you, and now I can't do that if you're coming up and being nice.
And he did this wrong. You're supposed to, like, ask us for prayer, and I was going to do that because you're stepping into your next chapter. But he did it wrong because he's reformed, and he doesn't know. But
I don't know what I am anymore.
That's okay.
I'm in the reformed camp. Let's call it that.
Okay. All right. So I was going to just have us pray for you as you're stepping into the next place that you're being called to. But I'm going to hijack this moment just for a minute because we're not always able to say to the people that have made a difference in your life, thank you for making a difference in your life. But Ty is one. We've done youth ministry for a long, long time together. We have worshiped together. We have led kids together. We have groused together. We have laughed. We have cried. We have prayed. And we have both wrestled with job opportunities and chapters of Youth for Christ closing and the next things and the wondering and the waiting on the Lord for the next what's next. And Ty has been an example to me of what it is to have a light into your path and the right now. God didn't give him the floodlights of what he was planning for him 3 years ago. And it's 3 years ago? Ish, whatever. It's
two and been, a half.
Two whatever and it's been. And it's been hard. It's been hard. And it's, as his friend, even hard, saying, Lord, what is next? Just show him what is next. And God has now done that. And I would like to just pray over you, my friend, for the blessings where you're going to be going next, because I know they're going to be blessed by you as well. So will you join me as we pray for Ty? Father God, I thank you for this man. I thank you for the servant of yours. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his passion. I thank you for the compassion he has to come alongside those that are the least of these. He's been an example to me and to so many others, and the kids that he has led and the leaders he's had under them. And all of that has just been things that he's going to take with him to Iowa. And Father God, I just pray that even now you are getting kids ready and schedules ready and leaders to come up underneath him. But I also pray for friends of his heart. I pray for good people to come alongside him. And I pray for those that are going to keep him accountable. I'm going to pray for those that are just going to keep encouraging him when he needs it. But Father God, in all of it, I just pray that he'll keep his eyes on you and he'll know how very, very much he is loved by you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You guys have been a big part of that journey the last couple of years because it allowed me to stay in connection with the local church. It allowed me to say, Lord, if this is what you want for me, then please open that door at your choosing, at your time, which is hard to say as 2 years creeps in, right? But because I couldn't shake that, and you guys and other churches around here continue to affirm the fact that, no, this is something that God has called you to. So I thank you very much so for allowing me to be a part of that journey and Christ's ministry continuing to me to just say, I can't shake this. And when, you know, when I got the call a couple of days ago, it's like, or an email, it was a couple of weeks ago. I live in South Dakota now, you know that, right? But I just, like, I got back Friday. You said Iowa, I know. I'm not going to correct you in a prayer, Sadie. But, you know, like, I got back Friday. Yesterday was a long day moving, loading a moving truck. And then we leave tomorrow morning. So it's like, thank you, God, for one last window to be faithful to say goodbye to you guys and have an opportunity to just be with people that I've cared about for a couple years now. So thank you very much. A lot's changed in this last month or two since I've been with you. Like, Sandy got older. We know that. I didn't say visibly older. That would have been mean. No, but I'm thankful for God allowing us. We're going, I've been in Mitchell, South Dakota. If you've ever heard of the Corn Palace, that's where I live. It might be worth the gas money from the highway to go see the Corn Palace and back. It's a really cool place. And I'm the associate pastor for youth at Mitchell Reformed Church. It's the only Dutchy church in that town. So it's nice to be back, and it'll be good to be there and in the full swing. So where are we going today? The sermon title is Born With It. This is a sermon that I talked to. It was providence, right? God's providence in hand. As I preached, here and other places waiting for God to open the door. As soon as our family stopped saying, Lord, wherever you want us to go, but please let it be Michigan. When we stopped saying, please let it be Michigan, please let it be right here, three churches, boom, 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 opened up. Kalamazoo, Portage, Pella, Iowa, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And God's plan is so beautiful, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that God's plan, no matter where we are, no matter our brokenness, no matter what issues we deal with, God's plan is sovereign. God set it into motion. And so when we join with that plan, no matter what we're born with, no matter how we deal with things, there is a plan for us to, it's like walking into a river and letting the current carry you. We take active participation in, but if that current's going and we're in that stream, there's no way we're going to be able to sustain walking upstream. You know, you might be able to do that here in the Rabbit. You know, we've taken, Mark and I in the back, have taken kids on the, what's the river that goes to, I've already forgotten, Muskegon River down Newaygo, right? And there's parts of that that you could probably walk upstream, other parts you can't. But once you get into the stream of what God wants to do, walking up, you eventually realize how futile it is to try and walk upstream against God. So the idea this morning is we're talking about born with it. Because we're all born with something. And that's what I want to talk to. So I want to remind us this morning of this message and our status regarding sin. We don't like to think about that a lot, right? We don't like, ooh, I'm a sinner. I was born with sin. I'm dealing with sin in my life. But if we're going to be together as God's people in this world, if our goals are to reach out to God's world, no matter what age, no matter how big or small our church is, no matter our situation, if we understand that we are God's people and sinful, but yet we want to reach out to his world, and we want these goals of unity and salvation and grace and mercy and speaking of forgiveness and the good news of Jesus Christ, then we better not forget our status as sinners so that the message is about Jesus Christ and not of ourselves. Because if we go into this world to be God's ambassadors and missionaries, and we have an elevated view of ourselves, if we don't have a realistic view of our sin, then we don't have anything to bring to those people except what we think are our good works, except for what we think are the things that makes us worthy. But we didn't earn this salvation, did we? You know, the Reformation clearly teaches us that we are sinners saved by grace through faith from Jesus Christ. So we didn't earn this free gift. We were given this gift. And many people died in order to bring the church back to the idea that this is a gift of Jesus Christ. It's nothing we earned. It's nothing we deserved. There's not a book in heaven that has columns that says ties sin, ties grace. There's a book in heaven, the book of life, that says sealed, delivered by Jesus Christ for Ty Hoag or for everybody else that has come to a saving knowledge because of Jesus. But God doesn't keep a ledger. So if we remind ourselves of that, if we isolate ourselves from the church again too, we forget the blessings of being together with God's people. Sometimes those blessings are because we do this. Sometimes those blessings are because somebody loves you and encourages you and says, I'm your friend, I stand with you in this pain, or I stand with you with this joy. For the Prince family, this is a week we get to be the church and bless them and care for them and say, in Jerry's passing, we love you. Here's your meal. Here's a time of just, I'll sit and cry with you. Right? So if we remember our status as sinner, it does good things for us. It's not where we need to live, but it is where we need to remind ourselves that this is nothing of our own. And when we start to think our sin is something better, which is a weird way to think about it, but if we start to think that our sin is something less icky, or less, then we blow that message too. Well, I'm only this, or I only do that once in a while, or my sin is, you know, so I gossip a little bit or this. You know, like, I'm not icky, icky, icky. But wow, look at them. Look at that person. Look at, you know, like, we get off, we're not, are we living for Christ at that moment? There's a pastor that I know that his quote, his name's Dan Stoughton. I wish we hated our own sin as much as we hate the sin of others. Right? My sin's never as icky. My sin's never as bad. I do a little bit. You know, you're either standing in the pasture in a pile of manure or you're not. We all do. And whether that manure comes to your ankle or to your knee, you're still standing in a pile of something you don't want to really be in. So it's degrees of we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. So we need to be more authentic, more humble in relationship to our sin. So then we come alongside people that are struggling with the same thing. We come alongside people who are dealing with those same issues, not as one who I'm here because of what I've done, but maybe I'm right on that same plane. I struggle with this same thing with you. Or God brought me to this point and he's allowing me to throw you the rope and pull you up. Again, not looking at ourselves and what we have earned or done, but where God has brought us so that he can use us for whatever his plan is. So we're going to look. I know the scripture said Hebrews. That was a typo on my part. So if you've got a Bible and want to follow along, we're going to be in Ephesians. Second chapter of Ephesians. I'll give you a second to look at that. And that's what we're going to just walk through some of these things that remind us we were all born with it. It's called sin. It's called depravity. It's called a broken world. So Ephesians 2, let's start at verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked. Dead is not alive. Dead is dead. Somebody explained to me once. Well, duh, obviously. Well, if you're dead, can you do anything? No. We can walk across the street to the cemetery. Is anybody over there able to do anything for themselves anymore? Absolutely not. So what Paul is saying is, you were dead. You were completely incapable of anything on your own. It's kind of a big statement, right? You were dead. That tells us who we were. We were apart from God. We were separated from God. There is absolutely 100% no way we could have done anything to affect whatsoever our faith, our connection to God, our ability to stand on, you know, our own laurels and say, look what I've done. You were dead. You were a body in a graveyard. That's a big statement. So if that's my case, uh-oh. So what's Paul going to tell me here? What's going to give me hope? What's going to bring me joy? What's going to make the difference? It says, you were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we were dead, but we were being brought along by the enemy of God. We were being brought along by the one who wants to see the destruction of God and the destruction of his people. Satan hates God so much, he wants to take as many away from God as possible. He wants to work destruction in us, so that he can thumb his nose and go to God, or worse, right? So we were in this dead condition. We're following after the enemy of God, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We once were. That's a key phrase. We once were. That's who we were. Oh, I'm not anymore? Excuse me. I wonder what happened. I was once that. Paul's telling the believers, you were once this. So there's a glimmer of hope right now. We haven't gotten further, but there's a glimmer of hope. We were once like this, so if we're not anymore, we have something to rejoice in, but then we have something to offer. If we were that way, and now we're a different way, maybe we can be somebody in a group that then helps others to find that way too. I identify with you. I identify with your brokenness. I identify, but I'm not. I'm over there now. But if I can look in those people now, I might have compassion, right? Because if I was once that way, I don't want to be that way anymore. That's not where I want to live. That's not how I want to be. And something caused me to be over here now where I don't have to suffer with that. Wouldn't I be the one going, hey, over here? You know, we don't, you know, with road directions and with somebody stuck in a ditch, we're usually somebody that'll pull over and say, hey, how can I help? Well, this is bigger than that by eternity. So now, if I once were, how do I get to be somebody that points to the what can be? You know, I wish we all had, I think I've mentioned this here before, that iPad on us, or a little, you know, that it said, you know, lust, or it said gossip, or it said slander, or it said materialism, or hate. Because then we couldn't say, well, I once was, but now I'm this. I am this because of me, because of, I'm over here because, well, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. But if we had that little display, it'd be like, okay, big deal, how do you deal with lust? Okay, big deal, how do you deal with gossip, materialism, gluttony, all the rest? That would remind us of our once wasness to be able to go, oh, look, you and I, we have a connection here. I dealt with that too. But you know what? Let me show you the friend. Let me show you the Savior who loved you enough to bring you over here. So the idea that I want to talk about this morning, the whole idea of born with it, guess what? We're all born with it. It's the brokenness of the fall of humanity from the idea that God had that I will make a people. I will come to you. I will be one with you. And then humanity said, no, I think I'll choose my way. And then it's like a giant ripple in the pond, right? Splash, you throw that rock out there and it ripples out into all the levels of brokenness. All the levels of, boy, I don't want you to see my screen because this is who I can be when nobody's watching. And sometimes it's who I can be or am when everybody's watching. So you once were, we once were. And there's always a little bit about that that still is, right? Because we will wrestle with the effects of the fall that causes sin, that causes disease, that causes suffering. That so when we say, oh, you know, modern day, we like to say, well, they were born with that. We can't help that. Well, all of us are born with the effects of the fall of humanity. So all of us can identify with those not yet redeemed by Jesus Christ. No matter what, because every one of us, if that monitor worked, would have all of every possible thing that could happen that's wrong and not according to God's plan would be on that monitor. And every single one of those things can be redeemed by Jesus Christ. And we get to be a part of that. One of the things on the way to the airport with my pastor in South Dakota, he was driving me to Sioux Falls the other day, and we're hoping and thinking and dreaming. He's been there a couple years. I've been there a month. What can be our thing? What can our church be? What's the thing that our church, you know, are we the people that cook meals for the community? Are we the people that do like a hand-to-hand ministry? What is our thing? And I've noticed some things over the last month, but he and I hadn't really talked about it. And it's like, he said, we can be the church for the broken. It's like, yeah, because I look at about half the kids in our youth group don't have a church connection. Awesome. It's a little more difficult. You know, it's not like when you're sitting there, all right, let me tell you about justification. They're like, Jahua? Justin Bieber? Sandy laughed. Or let me tell you about this or that. Like, and a bunch of the kids in our youth group are from single moms or broken homes. There's a bunch of families in our church that have dealt with divorce or abuse. Or what a great place to be, a church for the broken. But shouldn't every church? Because we're broken here too, right? We just, again, we cover the screen. So the fall was what made us that, right? This broken, sinful, lustful, hateful, prideful, gossipy, materialistic, all the things. The world, we know that the world isn't the way it's supposed to be. This is not what God wanted for us. All those sin and rebellion issues, though, all that, I was born with it. We should all be able to stand proudly and say, I was born with it, but Jesus Christ. So call me a sinner. Call me a gossip. Call me a liar. And I have to own what I have to own, but I say, but Jesus Christ. Let's read on in Ephesians. Here's the but from Paul. But God. That should be enough, right? When our story intersects and it says, but God, it's like the hero rides in. Superman flies down and he rescues. The old westerns, you know, you see the bad guys walking down the street and here comes the good guy. But God, you should be able to go, woohoo! Awesome. Here's where it's going to get good. Here's where the story's going to change. But God, all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-present. But God. So we can read so much more into those two words, right? Because it's just not, well, then God. No, God, the Creator, the Savior, the one that had a plan from the beginning, the one that cannot fail. But God, being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive in Christ. But God walked over to the cemetery and said, my loved ones, you were dead. You could do nothing. Rise. I've got a plan. Oh, God's got a plan. God can bring back the dead. And through Jesus Christ, he does with us. He brings us back and says, no more once was. Yes, there will be effects of this. Yes, there will be lingering. But see yourselves in the light of Jesus Christ as a new creation. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and is seated with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards you in Jesus Christ. There's the Reformation. But by grace you have been saved. We can't earn it. We can't get rid of it. If God reaches out his hand and grabs my hand, that grip is forever. So the once was, it's like calling a kid a name, and that kid is so comfortable and confident in who they are in Christ and in a family that loves them that it just rolls. Hey, once was. Hey, new creation in Christ. Don't matter. Yep, I dealt with lust. Yep, I dealt with pride. Yep, I dealt with gossip. Yep, I dealt with materialism. I dealt. God deals. God saves. God redeems. God brings back. Wow. That's joyful. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here, I don't know if this is the best, but this is the one that gives me the, like, ooh. For we are his, God's. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. We were made by God. I just told this to our kids the other night as we were getting ready for small groups. Our theme this year in South Dakota is going to be Live Christ, that we get to live as Christ's chosen. And you know what? God wanted us. God wanted a tie. God wanted a John. God wanted each one of us. God, with intention, said, I'm making you because I wanted you. And guess what? I've got something in store for you. I've got something lined up for you. Woo! So yeah, I was born this way, but I was born with God beforehand having a plan for me. So all that we can do through Christ to say, look, that's not God's plan. This brokenness was not what God intended. But it's because the world went out of joint that God now says, come on. Come on. And that we can, I've been there, I get it. But Christ continues to work in me. I'm a schmuck, but I'm a schmuck who gets loved by Jesus. Come on. Let's go. He sets us off on a new path, and we get to be the people that are called to be a part of that. What greater joy could there be than to rescue somebody? You know, I know a lot of people that are in public safety, police, fire, ambulance, and the military. You know, you hear the stories from them. Yeah, there's the stories of, oh, wow, we saw this. This was gory or this was tough. But the story of I saved a life. I got to be a part of something that saved a family, that got kids out of a horrible situation, a wife out of an abusive situation, a husband to the right counseling that they needed or alcohol treatment, that you pulled a burning, you know, a child out of a burning house. Like, we get to be a part of that rescue plan of God. So remember this. Now we're here. Because of that, the work of God and His putting that desire of faith in our lives. Again, God's the one who does the spark. God's the one who says, Ty, here I am. Again, that total depravity says, I can't get to God on my own. It's part of our reformed understanding, right? We are so separated from God that we can't get to Him on our own. But God in His love and His mercy, and before we were ever born, prepared knowing who He will call to Himself. So now we're firmly here. I wish there was a better way to say that, because we're firmly here, but it wasn't we that got us here. We aren't that anymore. We have the echoes and the consequences of that before. But we are firmly here because God brought us firmly here and allows us, again, go back. Let's be a part of when Jesus goes after that one lost sheep, we could be a part of that. That family member that's gone astray. You know, we don't have to go back and Bible thumb because it's God will do the work. But I love you. I care about you. I see your screen. Okay. I have a screen too. Look. It's pretty ugly, isn't it? But we can confess sins one to another. We can walk through life with people that are hurting because we know that God is sovereign and can do whatever He wants with whatever tools He is given. We're that tool. So He can take the worst brokenness and say, come be a now different creature. This says this in Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, while we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It's us. We're the ungodly. Again, giving us a frame of reference today that we're all in this same boat, that we're not higher or mightier or anything. We were the ungodly. And yet now we're godly. How did that happen? That should give us a lot of pause to think. But if I was ungodly once, can I be a part of God's plan? I know I keep hitting this over and over, but if we lived like this more, you'd see differences in churches. You'd see differences in families, differences in lives. I need to hear this. As I start walking with kids, as I look at my own family, and where are the places that I ignore walking alongside my own children, my wife? All of us need to hear this. It's like, I'm not, okay, my sin is this, your sin is that, it's not this, it's let's go together to God. Let's go to the one place, the cross, back there, of Jesus Christ, that something can happen. So let's join together in doing this. It's never too late. It's never impossible. We're never too old. We're never too young. We get to be a part of God's rescue plan. And this lie out of the pit of hell that says, you're ickier, your sin's more repulsive, your sin can't be forgiven, is just that. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. For our friends that struggle with anything across the board, from lust, gender, gluttony, that it's you're irredeemable, is a lie from the pit of hell. Because we're saying we can't fix it. We're not believing that God can. We're not believing that the one who created us can't solve this problem of brokenness is a lie. So how do, in the meantime, we love and care for those that their sin might be different from us, or they're not ready to accept Christ yet, or they want to keep trying their own way? We do what Jesus did. We love. The church far too often has leaned in with truth. And truth is a beautiful thing. That's why God gave us his book, Truth. But then we want to hit somebody over the, your sin, bam! But didn't Jesus also lead with grace to that woman caught in adultery? If I were to paraphrase that, you know, he gets down there on his knees, everybody leaves, he goes, so where's all your accusers? They all left. Oh, maybe you should change your life. Maybe this isn't working. Maybe there's a better way. That's kind of how I see that going. I don't think that goes against Scripture, but Jesus says, go and sin no more. I didn't come to condemn you. I've not got the biggest rock and I'm perfect. I get to slam your head against the ground. He says, I didn't come here to condemn you. So there's grace, and then the truth is, don't live like this anymore. So how do we step into that role ourselves? Knowing that that's where I came from. You know, it's the person that gets the makeover that doesn't want to be that anymore. There's all those shows 10, 15 years ago where they take the ugly duckling and they make him over, they dress him up. You know, you put the lipstick on the pig. Well, we're still part pig, according to the world. But according to God, you were never supposed to be a pig. You were my beautiful creation. So, and they are too. So, it costs us nothing. But it costs them everything if we don't be a part of God's plan of moving forward. So I want to read you this. I don't know if I've read it here or not, but there's a book called the Jesus Storybook Bible. I know Sandy's probably seen it. Others, if you have small children. It's a great paraphrase of the Bible, and it's got pictures. I like pictures. I've got ADD. But the end of the Genesis story with the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden, goes like this in this story. So it shows a picture of Adam and Eve kind of hunched over and walking out, and there's an angel with a fiery sword, right? You're out. It's done. And it says this, in any other story, it would all be over, and that would have been the end. Talking about when God separates Adam and Eve from the garden. They've sinned, they listen to the devil. That would have been the end, but not this story. God loved his children way too much to leave the story ending there. Even though he knew they would suffer, God had a plan. He had a magnificent dream. One day he would get his children back. One day he would make their world perfect. It would be their perfect home again. And one day he would wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And though they would forget him, run from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him, lost children yearning for their home. But before they left the garden, God whispered a promise to Adam and Eve. It's not always going to be so. I will come and rescue you. And when I do, I'm going to battle the snake. I'll get rid of the sin and the dark and the sadness you let in here. I'm coming back for you. And he would. One day, God himself would come. God comes for us. He came once. His Spirit comes every day for us, looking for us, calling to us. Because of what? Because God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Love trumps everything else. God's love. It is perfect. It is for his children. And we are all created in that image. And we get to be a part of God's rescue plan for the world. Please take up your part of it. Please, as a church, let's take up that together. Because the broken was once us. And the only reason it's not anymore is Jesus. And that same love that Jesus gave to us is available to his entire group of people, the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you love us. You set in motion your plan before the beginning of the world. that your son, yourself, part of you, the very essence of each other, would come here to undo born with it and would change us into the new creation that you've always intended us to be. Help us with love and grace and great joy accept that calling not only into your covenant community, but into the growing group of people who are part of your rescue plan that you equip and send into a dying world to raise the dead. In Christ's name, amen.